The 13th century Christian mystic Meister Eckhart once said, "If the only prayer you ever say in your life is thank you, that will be enough." We light our chalice this morning with gratitude, with deep thankfulness for the gift of another day. This is the day that we have been given. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
I invite you to rise in body or in spirit to join us in singing "We Give Thanks." And the way we're going to do this is that the choir and I will sing, and then you will sing it back in our general direction. Okay?
To live a life of gratitude is to open our eyes to the countless ways in which we are supported by the world around us. Such a life provides less space for suffering because our attention is more balanced. We are more often occupied with noticing what we are given, thanking those who have helped us, and repaying the world in some concrete way for what we are receiving. Come, let us worship together.
We've been journeying together this week, sharing in a mini spiritual retreat in these morning worship services. We began with the practice of radical hospitality, with reminding ourselves of the open-heartedness it takes to truly welcome a stranger into our lives. We move to the practice of embracing change, acknowledging that it is often challenging to set down our desire for the reliable and the predictable. We reminded ourselves that life is always changing, and we can change too. From there, we turned to lift up the power of play to renew our spiritual lives. We played together, celebrating the joy that comes from releasing into creativity, imagination, and exploration. Yesterday, we brought our attention back to the present moment, reminding ourselves that the present is always waiting for us to show up with our whole selves, to pay attention to what is happening in the here and now. This morning, we conclude with a little study of spiritual practices with an exploration of the power of gratitude, the simple saying of thanks. Though our worship series is ending, we hope that this will not be the end. We hope that you might take a practice or two home with you to continue exploring, whether on your own, with friends or family, or back in your home congregation. We invite you to find a way to make a little more space for spiritual practice in your own lives. The benefits of deepened spiritual practice are worth the effort. With deepened attention to your spiritual life, you stand to discover deeper connections, with yourself, with others, with the earth and her creatures, with everything, including the force of life itself, known to us by so many names. Spirit of life and of love, spirit of mystery and wonder, beloved community, life itself, Gaia, God, may we open our hearts to all that we seek. Every morning this week, we've had a spiritual practice that we've tried together. This morning, the spiritual practice we'll try together is brought to us by the whole alphabet. And we have some helpers. Lois and Megan, Bennett and Kathy, Sam and Marilyn, and two Delias are helping us this morning. Now, you know from alphabet picture books that sometimes when we're working with the alphabet and trying to think of words that go with the alphabet, it's just plain silly. So this morning, we want it to be fun, but not just fun and silly. We also want it to be fun and meaningful. And so what we're going to do is we're going to have an alphabet of gratitude. And all of our helpers have all of our letters, and they have all given some thought to things at Summer Institute for which they are grateful. And so they're going to share with us things that either, and some of these letters are hard. You know, some of the letters, if you've looked at picture books, are hard to think of words for. So on some of the hard words, we've also said, if you can't think of something at Summer Institute that you're thankful for, think of something in your own life. So the same is true for you. So they're going to tell us something either at Summer Institute or they're in their own life back at home that they're thankful for. And after they tell us, then you're going to have an opportunity to respond too. You ready? Okay.
I'm thankful for air conditioner. How about you?
I think lots of people agree with you, Sam. How about you, he asks. What are you grateful for that starts with A? Just go ahead and call it out. Excellent. So many things.
I'm thankful for the apartment, Bennett. How about you?
What B things are you thankful for? Excellent.
I'm grateful for creativity. How about you? I'm grateful for dinner with friends, old and new. How about you? I'm thankful for all of our exciting times together. How about you?
I'm thankful to have fun, friends, and faith. How about you?
I'm thankful for the new games that I learned in the board game workshop. How about you?
Giraffe. grateful for hands-on learning. What about you?
I'm grateful for hands-on learning. What about you?
I'm grateful for ice cream. How about you? I'm grateful for John Marshall. How about you?
I'm grateful for the kaleidoscope. How about you?
I'm grateful for all the love in the air. How about you?
I'm thankful for my mother. How about you?
I'm grateful for newbies. Yay! How about you?
I'm grateful for all the outstanding body work. How about you?
I'm thankful for our peaceful SI community. How about you?
I'm grateful for quiet time. How about you?
I'm grateful for reading. How about you?
I'm grateful for swimming. How about you? For togetherness. What about you?
I'm thankful for UUs. How about you?
I'm grateful for voices raised in song. How about you?
I'm grateful for working adults. How about you?
Willy Wonka!
I'm grateful for all the excitement in the air. How about you?
I'm grateful for you. How about you?
I'm grateful for zero tolerance and meanness. How about you?
So when you get back home, you've probably heard that one of the ways that we can engage a spiritual practice of gratitude is by making a list of five things that we're grateful for. This is an advanced version, the whole alphabet. Thank you to all of our helpers.
So we're going to sing together in a moment, and it is From You I Receive, and we're going to do it in three different languages, in English, in Spanish, and with body language. And so we're going to layer this in ways of learning. So first, we will have teaching of what the body language will look like. So I'm just going to say the words while they do the magic. From you I receive. To you I give, together we share, and from this we live. Let's try that together, shall we? So, from you I receive, to you I give, together we share, and from this we live. And so you will be able to do those movements. And then we are stretching ourselves fabulously to sing in Spanish as well. If Spanish is your first language, you've been waiting for this all week. So the choir is going to sing the Spanish version first, and then I'm going to quickly turn to you, and we're going to sing it in Spanish together twice. And I'm sorry? Oh, yes. Once I finish talking. So the choir will sing it in Spanish, then you will join us, we'll sing it two more times in Spanish, and then you will turn toward one another. And when you turn toward one another, we should probably stop the body language so you don't hurt anyone, and sing it in English to one another just once. Okay? So the choir is going to sing. You can be slowly standing up during that time.
Thank you.
Messenger. My work is loving the world. Here are the sunflowers, there the hummingbirds, equal seekers of sweetness. Here the quickening yeast, there the blue plums, here the clam deep in the speckled sand. Are my boots old? Is my coat torn? Am I no longer young and still not half perfect? Let me keep my mind on what matters, which is my work, which is mostly standing still and learning to be astonished. The Phoebe, the delphinium, the sheep in the pasture and the pasture, which is mostly rejoicing since all the ingredients are here, which is gratitude, to be given a mind and a heart and these body clothes, a mouth which to give shouts of joy to the moth and the wren, to the sleepy dug-up clam, telling them over and over how it is that we live forever.
We each have our habits of thinking, the ways we tend to respond to what happens around us, and I confess that one of my habits of thinking is to be nearly always considering how something could be better. I'm particularly hard on myself, it's true, and also particularly concerned about things that affect others. I care very much about the ways our world might be a more fair and just place. I care very much that our congregations are inclusive places that truly feed people's spiritual needs. And because Summer Institute has such power to nurture and transform people, I care very much that it too is the best it can be. And so, one of my first reactions is often, what could be better? Even better than what is now. Sometimes this reaction is so fast that I don't stop to savor the moment, enjoy my own success, or to enjoy what is good. Each of us has our own first thought reactions, and they might be different for different circumstances. We may react to another's success with envy, wishing that success for ourselves. We may react to bad turns in our lives with a sense that we are owed more than that. We may react to seeing neat things by coveting them, by wanting them for ourselves. We may compare ourselves to others and always find people who are smarter, braver, stronger, and better looking than we are. In addition to how we react, we each walk through the world with a set of beliefs about who we are and what the world is. We may expect things to go wrong because we believe our life doesn't generally go well. We may expect people not to like us because we believe people in general don't. These thought patterns, expectations, and beliefs get in the way of our happiness because they shape what we see. That is, we see what we expect to see because that's what we're looking for. The spiritual practice that helps us move to a different mental place where we find happiness is gratitude. In fact, gratitude is so closely linked to happiness, we might as well call them synonyms. People who experience more gratitude are not only measurably happier, but also more loving, joyful, enthusiastic, empathetic, forgiving, and willing to help others. And they're seen as more helpful, outgoing, optimistic, and trustworthy. For a lucky few, this way of life emerges naturally from who they are. The good news is the rest of us can experience the benefits of gratitude, too. A simple practice of writing 5 things we are grateful for each night provides measurable improvements. After 6 months, subjects were happier, more optimistic, had fewer physical problems, and exercised more than a control group. In a similar experiment with polio survivors, those that practiced gratitude were happier, more optimistic, fell asleep faster, slept longer, and woke up feeling refreshed, more refreshed than the control group. Gratitude changes our very bodies. 1 month of meditating on what one is grateful for only 15 minutes a day led to a 200% increase of DHEA, one of those fountain of youth hormones, and a 30% decrease in the stress hormone cortisol, which is damaging to our bodies. If there was a supplement that did that, you couldn't keep it on the shelf. And yet, gratitude is ours for free. So it's no surprise that cultivating gratitude is a key component of many religious traditions. Life is a gift which we have been given. This day, the love of friends and family, the blessings of the natural world, all are freely given gifts which we cannot earn and can never repay. Whether we thank God or the goddess or the universe or just marvel that life is the way that it is, we are blessed. The Jewish practice of doing this may be the most concrete. Judaism has recited blessings for nearly everything, including most daily tasks, short blessings that one recites through all those things that we do every day. As well as that, they have blessings that one utters in moments of awe and wonder and grace. These blessings thank God for what we have been given. The first kind helps us stimulate awe and gratitude with our daily tasks, and the second helps us to respond. Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel tells us that these blessings are to help us take notice of the wonder, to regain a sense of the mystery that animates all beings. Here are some other ways you could start a gratitude practice. One way is to find a daily cue. Similar to the Jewish blessings, we can use our daily tasks to stimulate a reminder of gratitude. Those cues could be picking up silverware. Or every time we walk through a door, we can think of something to be grateful for. It could be that moment of holding our morning coffee or seeing our loved ones. It's a practice I invite you to try even just for a day to see how it feels. Another way is to start a daily writing practice. Many people find that writing down what we're grateful for helps. It could be to find a new thing one is grateful for every day. People who do this say that you might think you'd run out, but it's surprising how easy it is to find a new thing every day. You could also write 5 things every day, even if they're not new. Things that you're grateful for today. A third possibility is to create a family ritual where you're kind of held accountable by your family because you're doing it together. Once a day, you share what you're grateful for with each other, maybe at dinner or maybe right before the lights go out. Practicing gratitude takes some effort. Our brains are programmed to be much, much more sensitive to the negative than the positive. We see the bad more than we see the good. So even if on the whole our lives are mostly filled with good things, we may think that it's mostly bad. It takes some effort, some concentration, some focus to work against this tendency. Not only might it take some effort, but practicing gratitude can be hard. It can be hard because it reveals our vulnerability. Many of us don't really want to need anyone or anything. We want to be fully independent. But when we stop to be grateful for these gifts in our lives, we realize that we are admitting how much we need each other, how much we needed those gifts, how much we are actually dependent on our world. That can be scary. Practicing gratitude can be especially challenging when life isn't all sunny. We can start with the realization it could be worse. Even that is the beginning of gratitude. But what we know about gratitude, what we know that the science has confirmed, that practicing gratitude when life is hard helps us keep a balanced perspective, helps us see the blessings among the hard stuff, keeps us healthier, and helps us move towards the positive hope wherever that is. It may even be that gratitude is what helps us see the hope that is present and be what saves us. We might even find that our hardship itself brings blessings if we look for them. Today's spiritual assignment is to spend this day looking for ways to express your gratitude. We invite you to verbalize your gratitude to each other over the next day, the things that you're grateful for here at Kenyon and Summer Institute. Thank the people who have touched your lives, from the people in your workshop to the folks working in the cafeteria. You can make it a little bit of a game. As you go through your day, count everything you are grateful for and every time you express your gratitude to someone else. Challenge yourself to see how high your count can get. There is a French proverb that tells us that gratitude is the memory of the heart. Let our hearts express what they remember from our time together and fill us with gratitude for all the gifts we have received. May we look with gratitude upon this day for the beauty of the world, for the first radiance of dawn and the last smoldering glow of sunset. Let us be thankful for physical joys, for hills to climb and hard work to do, for music that lifts our hearts in one breath, for the hand clasp of a friend, and for the graciousness, loveliness of children who remind us of the wonders of life. For all this, and for the countless other blessings present in our lives, let us be grateful. Amen.
I have to give credit for this before I sing it, because I did not write it. Thank you to Phil Smith. Day announcements, when the clueless are given some hints about what will be happening. Day announcements, when you all pay attention, because that's when you get to hear me sing. Day announcements, when the kids that lose teeth are all given a round of applause, and the lost keys and phones finally find their way home, and we tell you about kitchen laws. Day announcements, because committee folks just love to get up and talk and say hello. Day announcements, where we urge you to tie-dye in green, blue, magenta, and yellow. Day announcements, because we love to confuse you by adding on new things to do. So please stay in your chair and don't go anywhere, so check out Time Won't Be a Zoo. Day announcements, because whatever we do, we know you-yous can't follow a schedule. Day announcements, because by Friday you're tired and confused and you just have your head full. Day announcements, where we try to explain why your minister's skin is now blue. And though it may seem we'll run out of ice cream, I swear we would not do that to you. I am having two guest announcers today, and one of them is right back there wearing a helmet. Come on up. Come on up, Logan. I'm going to do an announcement while you get here. Reminders about our departure on Saturday. That's tomorrow. We have 11 a.m. checkout starting following the closing ceremony. I keep calling it the opening. I like to think of it as the opening for next year. So think of it that way. But following the closing ceremony at 11 a.m., we will have checkout in Gund Commons where we registered. That's where you can turn in your keys, get your receipt so that we know you got your key back to us and we don't have to worry about a $150 lost key fee. Make sure you turn it in. In Bushnell Dorm, we need to be out of the dorm by 9 a.m. In all other dorms, we have to be out of all the spaces by 12, by noon. And Amy Kent will have the receipt box with her for the key receipts at meals today and tomorrow morning. So if you need to leave a little bit early, that's a good way to get your receipt back. Find Amy and get your receipt for your key that way. You can also give it to a committee member. I have one with me right now that someone gave me this morning. We will take responsibility for it. As long as you put it in our hands, we'll take care of it. Logan. This is my friend Logan. Logan came and did a guest announcement with me last year, and I asked him if he would have anything he wanted to tell people about today. And I'm going to say something after he does that ties into it, but what have you got for us?
Well, today, actually all week, the Art Museum has been open. They're doing it's almost 100% hands-on exhibit. It's called Do It. The Art Museum is open from 1 to 8, and it's really, really fun, trust me on this, and funny, too.
Thank you, Logan. Logan has become a friend of mine through last year's Summer Institute. And I was glad to see him here again this year. And Logan always has something that he's excited about to tell people about. And that makes me think, if you haven't yet told a new person one of your favorite things or shown them one of your favorite things at Kenyon, do that today. Maybe they haven't seen the Upside Down Tree. Maybe they don't know about the Chihuly glass in the next building. So do something like that today. I got everything numbered in order here. This one I have to share because it was written for me to sing, even though we announced it a little bit last night. Mine eyes have missed the glory of my Onyx Risk board. It has traveled from the pub in Pierce where it was being stored. If you should know its whereabouts, please make sure it's restored so my troops may go marching on. We did find the location of the risk board. JB, I don't know if you have it back yet, but I still know where it is if you don't. UU Principal's bookmarks made by the fourth grade RE class will be sold after lunch today in front of the SI bookstore. There's an extra table in the hallway there you may have spotted for only 50 cents. Get them while supplies last.
Today at lunch, we will have the paper copies of the surveys out. They'll be at the information station. They'll be on the table in front of the bulletin board there. I'll have a sign that shows you where they go, but they're bright yellow. We will also have a box where if you fill one out, you can turn it in there. You can also take it with you, fill it out, give it to a committee member, or bring it to Key Return tomorrow when we're checking out. And we will have information for you about the online survey. We'll get it live. Do we know if it's live yet? Not quite yet. We'll get it live. If it's not live today, it will be probably around the time that you get home, and you'll see email coming out about that because we really want your feedback, please. The nursery and preschool late afternoon, this afternoon, the 3:15 nursery preschool session, we are going to cancel that today. Don't worry if you don't have a preschooler and you think, well, gosh, why would we cancel that? It's because we have an amazing community, and we have been wrapping our children into everything that we do this week, and we haven't had much of anyone coming to preschool and nursery in the afternoon because there's so many other things to do. So we're going to officially not have that session today. If you like the choir music, clap your hands. If you wish that you could have it, clap your hands. If you want a choral folder, see Michelle before you get older. $4 or $5, it can be yours. Clap your hands. The labyrinth is going to be taken down this afternoon at 4 p.m. It is going to be hot today, just like it has been all week. However, it's not looking like it's going to rain, so we'll plan on a 4 p.m. takedown of the labyrinth. Again, that's behind the chapel. Kind of catty corner from here, and we need a few sets of hands to help us do that. If some would offer, that would be great. If you have photos from this week that you can't email to Cliff for any reason to offer for the slideshow, you can see Cliff at lunch. Cliff is going to wave over here. And at lunchtime, he will be on the Thompson side dining hall. That's the non-Adventure Hump dining hall. Thomas. Thank you. This one is meant to be sung, and I'm sorry, you guys. I can't remember the tune. I have too many songs in my head, so I'm going to read it. It's... Huh? No. Oh, yes, it is. Do you want to sing it? Kathy, come on.
There's no reason.
I know. I forgot. It's all right. If you've enjoyed a sigh and seeing all your friends... You'll have another chance to do it all again at Winter Institute, at Salt Fork State Park Lodge, next President's Day weekend. You can see details on the Ohio Meadville District website or join the Winter Institute Facebook page. Thank you. Raise your hand and wave it around right now if you've been to Winter Institute so new folks can see who you are. There are a lot of them. If you don't know what Winter Institute is, look at and talk to one of those folks and ask them. It's a short version. I think you guys, what do you say? All the fun and none of the programming. There you go. This afternoon... is your last chance to shop at our bookstore, the OMDSI bookstore, in the room to the left when you head into Pierce. They will be there from 12:30 to 1:30 for regular shopping. Come and buy stuff and clear it out. They would love to sell as much to us as possible so that they don't have to count it all between 2 and 5 p.m., which vendors, that is when you should please come to the bookstore between 2 and 5 p.m. today to inventory your items and take them away. We will not have access to that room after 5 p.m. today, so we need to clear everything out this afternoon and be done with our work in that room by 5. There is a second round of raffle. The raffle items will be drawn this afternoon, I believe, and we will announce them at Vespers tonight. We'll announce the winners, and the items that people win will be here in Ross Hall tonight. So we'll announce the winners, and then you'll be able to pick things up right here since we will not be in the bookstore room any longer. Sharon Sikora, please see me briefly if you're here after we're all finished. And I have one other guest announcer. We're going to wrap up with this. Phyllis Smith, who wrote my tune for today, is going to come up, I think. Come on up. Thank you.
two hands. Who remembers that? My name's Phyllis Smith, and I'm with the Oberlin, Ohio Fellowship, where, as we speak, our sidewalk is being installed in front of our new building, so you should all come visit. I think we'll hold a little ceremony there sometime where we all bring our SI magic stones and install them in concrete in front of the threshold as you walk in. I asked to speak because there's a couple myths going around about Summer Institute that I want to dispel, and I want to make sure that you go back to your congregations and dispel them. One is that Summer Institute is a summer camp. Summer Institute's a summer camp like an acorn's a big oak tree. Summer Institute, I hope you know, and that you found out if you're new, is so much more. And I had the privilege of being the scholarship queen for a few years. And what happened was I got to sit on the stage with the committee and know that I was watching little girls dance in the aisle who had spent half the year in the hospital. That we had teenagers who were not just here for a vacation. It was the first time they'd ever been out of their county. We had young couples who came up to us and said, "You saved our marriage." We had people who came because of your scholarship help who had terrible illnesses and got a night's sleep for the first time here, partly because we made them so tired. But so we took a collection at the Contra Dance and took in about $60. That's about one day for one person. At the pub last night, at a very sad event at the pub last night, if you were there, at the arm wrestling, I won't go into the details. We raised about $100, $102, I believe. That's a quarter of a scholarship for someone. So here's what I want to say is that Summer Institute is not just a summer camp, and it's not just a vacation. It's an incubator for excitement and joy, and sometimes transformational is a word we've been using at our church a lot lately. It transforms lives. So I would say to you, it's not a, you know, people are like, well, you know, it's a charity. You can, if you write a check, get a tax deduction, but it's not a charity any more than your family reunion is a charity. So I ask you, these are our people. These are our family. Bring them here with us. And my assignment to you, since we've been giving assignments all week, is to start a little committee or a bulletin board or something back at your church. Because I say that people who wouldn't be caught dead at Summer Institute, and it's not everyone's cup of tea, they benefit from it so much. So those people who, let's see, I want to go somewhere and sleep in a bad bed and it's 100 degrees, no thank you. You should not be afraid to ask them to write a check, because that energy and that joy and those ideas come back to them. I think one thing that happened in Kent, we came to Kent the first year we were UU's, and they had 75 members, and we had 76 people at SI. They've created a reverberation chamber where the magic of SI circles back to the church, and the church circles back to SI, and people have, you know, they have a history now of people becoming ministers, and it's, I don't know, I mean, there's just something so magical here, and it benefits everyone. So I know a kid in my church that I personally am going to make sure is here next year. I ask you to do that too. And bring it, I mean, what is here, take it back to your congregation. What's at your congregation, bring it back here. This is the incubator of our lives here. It has been for me. It has been for a lot of you. We've seen children go from toddlers to fabulous young adults that are taking the ideas and the love that they got here out into their world and their communities. I mean, it's not a small thing. I think the committee was afraid that I would just get up here and be silly. There is nothing I'm more serious about than Summer Institute. And I ask you to join me. And don't think of it as a charity. Think of it as an investment in your lives and the lives of the people around you and the lives of the children that are coming up. It's that important. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. We have run a little bit long. Let's say that we will start the theme talk in 10 minutes. Thank you, everybody.
There is a brief rehearsal today. Hey, I'm grateful to sing next to you.